Water, I have found, can be a deep subject. Water and water imagery is universally spiritual. Our water communion brings home to us how universal that image is. Throughout the history of humankind, has viewed water as something more than just a physical reality. The waters of the Jordan are sacred to the Christians and Jews, and the Ganges to the Hindus, the Mississippi to many Native Americans, the Nile to ancient Egyptians, and the mythical river Styx to ancient Greeks, and the Amazons to the natives of the rainforest. In its other form, snow is sacred to the Inuit, and who have evolved 26 names for it. The Chinese consider water as a specific realm of the dragon because all life comes from the water. In Hindu sacred literature, the Vedas, water is considered the most maternal substance, and its creation myth is from all originating from the sea. In the Hindu web of existence, water is considered to be continuously circulating in the whole of nature. Ancients knew water as one of the four primary elements with fire, earth, and air. We baptize, dedicate, christen, cleanse, and toast with water. Water makes up 98% of our bodies, and the planet we call home is 2/3 water. Water adds life to every living creature. We know water in many forms. It is known as water as ice and snow, as solid as steel, and as treacherous and as transient as fog. We know its beauty as we can skate upon it or snowboard or ski or sled. We see it in its ghost form as fog, as a hindrance to our travel, and marvel as its images as it rises from the waters of our many bays and lakes. Observing its cyclical nature, remarked, "Water never rests, neither by day nor by night. When flowing above, it causes rain and dew. When flowing below, it forms streams and rivers. Water is outstanding in doing good. If a dam raises against it, it stops. If a way is made for it, it flows along that path, and yet it makes its own path that has no equal in destroying that which is hard and strong. Waters flow swiftly through streams running to the ocean and sits flat and smooth upon ponds and lakes like glass reflecting images. Streams form hunting ground for heron. Smooth ponds of water are nurseries and homes for fish and landing areas for loons and ducks. Waters feed our many willows along our banks, and waters was the road of our ancestors and represented the unknown to many ages of explorers who would set off and go to areas on the map that were annotated, "There be monsters there." There are few major cities in the world not settled because there are waterways around it. Waters whose depth is dark and still hides its many mysteries from us. Waters supply our food, our employment, and our recreation. This very city we live in was chosen and started because it was beside a riverway water system. The history of the state's industry started using its power. The many public buildings, as the fire department across the street, has a display of flowing water that keeps us connected to it as a source. We think of the many descriptions we have of water: clear water, spring water, running water, stagnant water, purifying water, dead water, fresh brackish and salt water, deep water, and stormy water. But water is more than a physical commodity. It has, as these phrases have, significant symbolism and power in helping us define our humanness. Our first 9 months prior to birth was spent immersed in water. In dream analysis, dreams containing water, especially bodies of water, are interpreted as originating from those deepest parts of who we are on our conscious. The physical cleansing of water is spiritual and psychological as well. The Christian baptism, the Hindu rites and the Ganges are attempts at spiritual rebirth, going back into the waters of birth to emerge again as a new person. When I worked at a university hospital as a chaplain, one significant image I remember was working with abused women. For each of them, the bath or the shower was a source of symbolic cleansing and psychological rebirth. There is a wonderful water image in the story told by Maury Schwartz in his book, Tuesdays with Maury. There's a story about a little wave bobbing in the ocean, having a grand old time. And now some waves are more powerful and larger, but they are all waves together. So he's enjoying the wind and the fresh air until he notices that other waves in front of him are crashing into the shore. My God, that's terrible, the wave says. Look what's going to happen to me. And then along comes another wind and sees the first woman looking grim. And he says to him, why so sad, wave? And the first wave says, you don't understand, we're all going to crash. All us waves are going to be nothing. Even the giant tsunami isn't that terrible. And the second wave says, no, you don't understand, you are not a wave. You are part of the ocean. Here, water provides the imagery to illustrate a perspective on life. In the homily and story that Joanna will lead, we will sing the story of Wade into the Water. This song brings me images of liberation. This summer, our city was visited by some tall ships who found coming into the East Coast harbors this summer, and there are two movies that come to mind of our East Coast summer movies. One was released 18 years ago, The Perfect Storm. The movie was about a real life happening in the town of Gloucester in 1991. In the story, a crew of swordfish catching boat is caught in a hurricane, and all hands eventually went down with the ship, as well as some people who were attempting to save them. In one winter of 2015, Disney filmed another sea movie where I was at. They even rented my local pub, which caused me some dissatisfaction at the time, in the Norwell Town Hall. And actually, our church building was in the filming of a movie called The Finest Hours, in which Casey Affleck and Chris Pine. It was about a Coast Guard rescue in 1952, in which it was released in January of 2016. The film was the true story about a rescue of a Pennington crew by a Coast Guard ships from Chatham, Massachusetts. A winter storm hit and broke asunder two large oil tankers. The big screen loves sea movies, and you can probably think of at least a dozen more. These two movies illustrate many issues about water. It can be friendly and a source of sustenance, or it can be treacherous and contribute to the great evil, as it did in the Bahamas this last week. But for anybody living by great bodies of water, there's one thing you can't do with it. You can't ignore the power of water. In the first movie, we saw the fishing ship whose captain and owner ignored all warnings become swamped by the hurricane. Here, how many times do we exhibit that same pride in failing to ask for help, especially when presenting with the vast unknowns of life? We are, after all, just a small boat in the large ocean of water. This is one of the worst dynamics of modernity, I think, the idea that we can exist alone as a lone ranger, an individual apart, an individual and independent of the human community, maybe by living in a cyber world in front of a computer monitor. In the last scene of The Perfect Storm, we see the Gloucester fishing boat attempting to sail over a vast 100-foot wave and watch in horror as each member goes under to their watery grave. The metaphor for me here is that we are all a small ship cast adrift on a large ocean, which we call life. Another image that comes out of the perfect storm in the finest hours is the willingness of others, familiar and unfamiliar, with those on the sea to come to their aid. This is the Christian image of the Good Samaritan. The image of other crews and townspeople and community sitting in the movie, set in the bar, worrying about the crews that were out to sea. It has happened numerous times in our town of Portsmouth, I am sure. In both movies, the Coast Guard ships keep coming to the distress aid. The helicopter crew was forced to ditch in the ocean while attempting to rescue people they do not know. It is like that in life, too. We are helped by many people we do not know. The theme of the second movie, The Finest Hour, exhibits the opposite reaction. Here, the two real-life oil tankers floundered in the early 50s and called for help. They recognized they needed somebody else. Both movies tell the story of people helping people, and that's why you're here this morning. That's why you come back here year after year. This church has been a community for 200 plus years that reaches out beyond its doors with universal love. Sometimes we are all small ships on large waters and find our lifelines coming from people we only know slightly or not at all. The only defense against largest of waters is the pervasiveness of mysterious waters, and the largest of life itself is lots of community. One folk song tells us, "The water is wide, I cannot cross over, and neither have I wings to fly. Give me a boat that will carry two, and both shall row, my love and I." And as the water imagery shows, it may be a large ocean, and we a small boat, but it is less frightening when we row together in an ever-evolving and never-ending world. Amen.